This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
As the great basketball philosopher Rasheed Wallace once said, ball don't lie. Last edition of the Drop and Dives podcast on theyak.com opened with a little shout out to Trading Places, particularly the Santa Claus scene where he's just, yeah, as to how the Texas basketball team was both playing and how many Texas fans and probably those associated with program were feeling about Texas basketball. And now to go to Trading Places again, it's kind of like one of those final scenes. Looking good, Billy Ray. Feeling good, Lewis. You know, the Longhorns beat the Jayhawks last night, 73-63. And we'll get into that on this edition of the Drop and Dimes podcast on theyak.com. We are up to episode 25. I'm Dustin McComas of orangebloods.com, your Drop and Dimes host, pilot, companion, friend, however you want to classify me. I take you on these podcast journeys where hopefully we quench your Longhorn basketball thirst and throw in some NBA and some Big 12 basketball discussion as well. But it's no secret. The Longhorns definitely needed to win last night's game against Kansas. Texas hadn't beaten Kansas since February 1st of 2014. Shaka Smart at Texas. Of course, he had a win over Kansas in the NCAA tournament on his run to the Final Four. But Shaka Smart at Texas hadn't beat Kansas. Kerwin Roach said it last night. He entered that game 0-7 in his career against Kansas, and now he's 1-7, and he said he'll take it, and the Longhorns will definitely take it. And I know many people are looking at Kansas and, oh, it's not the same Kansas, and, you know. And while I do think that there is some truth to that, this is still a team that is number 15 in the KenPom rankings, is 5-3 in the Big 12. And I know they lost Udoka Azubuike, but they still have a lot of quality wins this year. I mean, they've gone on the road in the Big 12 play and beat Baylor. They handled TCU at home. They handled Oklahoma at home. They got some revenge on Iowa State at home. So this definitely isn't a national championship-type Kansas team unless the NCAA bails it out and rules Sylvia D'Souza eligible, which would be, at that point, you're basically telling all coaches in college basketball, cheat because it doesn't matter. We're not going to do anything about it. That's another discussion for another day. But yeah, this Kansas team, okay, yeah, if you want to convince me that, hey, they're not the elite Kansas bunch, okay. They still got some really good players. Dedrick Lawson's really good. Texas did a great job on him defensively last night. I think he ended up being 3 of 13 from the floor. Devon Dotson, 5-star guard. Quentin Grimes, 5-star guard. That everybody wanted. Texas really, really wanted Quentin Grimes. Ladrell Vick, a quality senior player. I mean, they get a career best performance from one of your young players last night, and they've got some okay quality coming off the bench. David McCormack was a freshman big that everybody in the country wanted. Mitch Lightfoot's been in their program for some time, so this, I mean, it wasn't an easy game for Texas by any stretch of the imagination. We're talking about a Texas that had lost 5 of their last 6 games heading into that contest and was coming off of just an embarrassing defense performance at Georgia. And we'll start there because I thought that of the main things to take away from Texas' win last night over Kansas, the urgency, the pride, the effort, the leadership, and most notably all those things on defense was night and day different than the game at Georgia. You could really tell early on. I mean, Texas forced 3 shot clock violations in the first half. And on one of those, Kerwin Roach just totally blew up a defensive possession. He had a terrific closeout on Gerald Vick to both, you know, get him off of shooting an open 3-pointer, but also break down in a way where he couldn't go by or find somebody else for an open shot. And it was clear early on that this Texas team wanted to get back to defending at the level that they really defended pretty much all year until probably that first game at Kansas. I think that that's when their slide started defensively. You look at even, I mean, the Oklahoma State game, they were terrific in the second half on defense, bad in the first half, but showed that when they tried, I mean, they're a really good defense. West Virginia, they were strong on defense. Kansas State, they were strong on defense. So it was about that Kansas game, which was about 2 weeks ago, where this real big slide started happening on defense. And then you get the, you know, Oklahoma even scored a ton of points. And even though Texas won that game, Oklahoma's efficiency was really good. The TCU game and the Georgia game was just the ultimate, what in the heck is going on? So really, if Texas was going to respond in a situation where I think it might be fair to say that's a season-saving win when you look at what's ahead of Texas this weekend at Iowa State. I mean, there's a real chance if they would have dropped that game last night, they would have came back to Austin from Ames, Iowa, 11-11 and 3-5 in Big 12 play. 3-6 in Big 12 play, and you're thinking this thing's over. And they're not coming back from this. You look at all the tough games they have remaining. So if they were going to respond, it was going to have to be on the defensive end because their offense has been okay. You know, believe it or not, I was looking back at the statistics. Kansas has only given up 1.10 points per possession or more this season twice. It's only happened two times this season. And Texas owns both of those performances. Texas scored 1.24 at Kansas earlier this season. And then last night was at 1.16. So the Texas offense wasn't really the issue against Georgia. TCU, they committed a bunch of really sloppy turnovers. But when they didn't turn the ball over, they got pretty much any shot they wanted. Oklahoma, the offense was good. I mentioned the Kansas game. Texas was just a really good defensive-minded college basketball game. I don't think that Texas played particularly poorly on defense. I mean, excuse me, on offense, especially when you consider that Texas Tech, I believe, is still the number one adjusted defense of efficiency team in the country. So the Texas offense has been pretty solid for a while now. It not perfect, but they can score enough points to win basketball games. Really, if Texas was going to respond, it was going to be about its defense because players can control defense with effort and mindset and toughness. I mean, there are going to be times when teams run really, really good offense, make the right decisions, shoot the right shots the right way, and the ball just doesn't go in, or the other team does a great job defending, or whatever. But defense is so much more about emotion and effort and toughness and focus and just all of those things that you can control. There's more of a control factor with defense than there is on offense. And all those things Texas didn't do against Georgia, and it was embarrassing. It was a total lack of pride, urgency, toughness, all of that, all of the above. So Texas came out in the first half and really made a point to say, you know what? We're tired of losing. We're going to try to get back to winning basketball games with our defense, with just getting in the half court and just forcing teams to grind and forcing them to be uncomfortable and forcing them to take bad shots or commit turnovers. And that's what they did. And it Roach really set the tone on defense. Although his game offensively was a roller coaster. I mean, he had two turnovers late in the game when Texas was trying to close the game out. One that he broke the press and then just, I guess, totally didn't realize where he was and tried to dribble and ran out of bounds, like down the sideline with his dribble. And there was another instance where they broke the press again and he kind of dribbles himself into the wing near his bench into an opportunity where Kansas can trap. And he throws the ball back across the floor with about 58 seconds left. And I believe at that point, Texas was up 65-61. Oh, this is convenient. Longhorn Network's actually replaying this moment, this exact moment right now in my living room on the television. Texas is replaying that moment. So he had the ball, breaks the press, and then just inexplicably just throws a cross-court pass to Osakowski behind him, and it goes out of bounds. And you could see it on his face, like the gravity of what he had just done. It's like, oh my God, I just did that. I just allowed Kansas a prime opportunity to get back in this game. And to his credit, man, I know that he committed a foul doing this, But the moment he committed that turnover, it was like, screw this, man. I'm going to try to get every single rebound and loose ball I can. Like, I'm not going to be the reason that we lose this game. And he got a couple of big rebounds. He actually did miss the front end of a 1-on-1, but Dono Sikowski, and I didn't realize this until I was watching the replay, because our seats, our media seats at the Irwin Center are just, I mean, we're like 40 rows up behind one of the baskets. It sucks. You don't always get a true feel for what's going on. You definitely don't know what's being said on the floor. That's for certain. So I couldn't tell. I mean, my view was blocked by the backboard. I couldn't tell that Osikowski tipped that ball out to Roach. Really smart play. And then Roach chased it down, got fouled, and then made two free throws, I believe, that put Texas up 67-61. So he was very up and down offensively. Took too many threes. He got Texas going on offense with the perimeter shot, but fell in love with it too much. But I think Texas will live with that, besides the turnovers, of course. They don't want that. But I think Texas will live with some of the stuff he did on offense because of how good he was on defense. We haven't seen that Kerwin Roach defensively in a long time. I mean, this is a guy, when he was a freshman, I saw him single-handedly almost basically dominate a game against Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt had a guard, I believe his name was Wade Baldwin, who ended up going, I didn't like him at all. I thought he was one of the softest big-time guards I'd ever seen in person in terms of just the way he played and carried himself. But he ended up going like 16th or 17th in the NBA draft. And I mean, that's – Kerwin Roach, just when he was on, that guy dominated that dude. He had all these, you know, help side deflections and steals and getting up and down the floor and scoring well. And it's like, oh my gosh, like, this guy can be a defensive monster in his career. And we saw that some when he was a sophomore. We saw that some when he was junior. You know, he had some really big time games on defense, but this season we haven't really seen it, since the beginning of the year. I know there's some games early on where he really made an impact on defense, but didn't really see it much. And especially we got in the Big 12 play. I mean, there's a point in the season where Shaka Smart said Matt Coleman was his best perimeter defender, because it was true. Matt Coleman, you know, was the guy, I believe they switched on to Carson Edwards late in that Purdue game. You know, so he was kind of their stopper down the stretch. And then last night, Roach gets back to being that truly impactful defender. And if he can do that, it just makes such a difference for Texas. I think it does. It didn't always show last night, but I think it helps him get lost in the game offensively, where he just plays instead of thinking. But really, it just sets such a tone for Texas on defense, and it makes them much more better of a half-court defensive team when he's able to do what he did last night around the perimeter. So he had a role in really providing a big spark for Texas. I'd say he and Jackson Hayes were game changers on defense. Again, you're listening to episode 25 of the Drop and Dimes podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com, and we are diving into Texas' win last night over number 11 Kansas, 73-63. You know, Kerwin Roach making a big impact on defense. Grab a sip of water here for a sec. And it's that time of year where I know I wake up like this and you just got all that junk in your throat. Your nose is all stuffed up. It's just, but it could be worse though. We could be in a polar vortex right now. I don't know how I'd handle something like minus 50 degrees or like wind chills like that, or even anything close to that. That is just absolutely insane. So the other guy, and this gets back to the senior thing. If you're going to win games in the Big 12, your seniors have got to bring it. Doesn't matter if it's Kansas, doesn't matter if it's Oklahoma State, doesn't matter West Virginia, doesn't matter who it is. Oh, I just saw that Roach turnover on the TV replay again. Yeah. They were up 65-61 with 53.9 seconds left. Oh, his face says it all. I think Matt Coleman, you know, I think it caught Matt Coleman kind of pointing to his head and saying something like think or something like that. Anyway, back on top of here, you need your seniors to bring it every single night, at least from a mental standpoint, an effort standpoint, and a toughness standpoint. And that was Dylan Osikowski, man. Roach did it on defense. Dylan Osikowski right away, grabbing offensive rebounds, scoring on putbacks, just doing it all. Just, you know, he took the floor as a guy that was like, screw this shit. I am sick of losing. I'm sick of it. And to his credit, he was the guy that was visibly vocal during the Georgia game. He's the guy that's recently Shaka Smart has singled out to say he's done a better job at being vocal and kind of demanding more from his teammates, demanding that Texas do more of the things that go into winning. You know, since that loss at Kansas where Texas Roach botched the final play of the game, he's been good since then. I mean, he's basically – he scored 9 points or more in all games since that Kansas game. He's been a force on the glass. He's been getting assists. He hasn't been committing that many turnovers. He's been getting some steals. But really, he's just been playing with a lot of aggressiveness and a lot of toughness. And that's what he did last night, man. And Texas smartly ran a lot of offense through him. You know, Kansas uses that four-guard lineup now because they don't have Azubuike and they don't have Sylvia D'Souza. So Marcus Garrett and Dylan Osikowski were on each other. Well, what burned Texas the first time this happened was Marcus Garrett entered the game with four made three-pointers and made three in like the first 8 minutes. I mean, he had a career-best scoring night. So it's one of those times you just got to tip your cap and hope you can adjust or hope he gets cold or whatever. This time around, Garrett never got going. Really, he didn't really make much of an impact besides one help side block on Jackson Hayes that led to a transition bucket the other direction. But Texas made it a point to go at him with Osikowski. And either Kansas was going to double or Osikowski was going to go the free throw line and score a bucket. And there were a couple times where Osikowski committed turnovers early on. But the turnovers were – he was making the right decision. He was passing out of the double team. I think he did it one time to Hayes. That would have been a dunk. And another time out to what would have been a cutter or might have been an open shooter. Both decisions were correct. He just made them a split second too late, and Kansas got their hands on the basketball. But every time he was doubled, he made the right decision. Whether it was kicking the ball back out, reposting, whether it was trying to find the open man in the paint or on the perimeter, whatever it was. And then when he had an opportunity to one-on-one go at a guy, he went at him. I mean, he put buckets on Lawson, Garrett, Mitch Lightfoot. I mean, he got to the free throw line. He was a perfect 6-6 at the foul line. He was 5-7 on 2-point shots. He had 3 assists. And he led the way. He led the way. And that's what you need your seniors to do if you're Texas. Those guys have got to lead the way. They've got to establish that, hey, we're going to do these things, and I'm going to show you what we're going to do. We're going to play hard on defense. We're going to play hard on the glass. We're going to be aggressive on offense. We're going to play as a team. You know, when the double team comes, we're going to move the basketball, and you guys better be ready to shoot the basketball or cut off of it. So he was really good the entire game. And you know what? He held his own on defense too. He held his own. Texas, he was part of that group that doubled Dedrick Lawson a lot. There was a moment, I think, late in the first half when Kansas made a run that Texas got a little lost in terms of what they were doing on their double teams, but they soon corrected it. But really, Texas in the half court defensively was awesome. Kansas got their points on runouts, either live ball turnovers or just getting out in transition some. But when Texas got its defense set, besides one small stretch late, when Texas was up big and they were trying not to foul and Hayes got into foul trouble and kind of changed some things, allowed Kansas to get downhill. But Texas was really, really good in the half court. But it really started with Roach on defense, Osikowski on both ends of the floor, and they brought some guys with them. You know, Jace Febres had some huge, huge buckets late. Oh, that 1-3 he took, he had a stretch where I believe he shot an air ball three at about the 7-minute mark. And then from the six minute mark on, say that three times fast, he made 3 straight 3-pointers. And there was one opportunity where I think there was something like 1:30 left on the clock. And Texas broke the press, throws it up to Febres, and he's all alone. He's all alone. Nobody around him. Sorry, my dog is making his presence felt. He's done with nap time and moving around him and wanting to go outside. He was all alone. There's nobody there. It was just one of those opportunities where he could pull the ball out and just kill more clock. Maybe he gets fouled. Maybe somebody else gets fouled. Maybe Texas throws up a brick 20 seconds later. But he was wide open, just squared up the rim, looked at it, stepped into it, and knocked it down. And I'm thinking, man, you have got to have some huge balls to take that shot. So you got to have some big, big balls to want that moment, to want that shot. Because, you know, it's not always easy to shoot those wide open shots when you're all by yourself. In that you kind of know that you're almost all by yourself by design because the other team is trying to force a turnover or something like that and thinks that you're going to run the clock out. He was all alone. And I'm thinking of the character in Major League, Tanaka, I think, that goes down the baseline looking at Pedro Serrano and doing the marbles dance that Pedro Serrano easily eventually done as well. Like Texas players should have been in the locker room after the game. Somebody should have found a bag of marbles and started shaking them at Jace Febres because that was a big boy shot to step into that and shoot it. You got to have a lot of confidence in yourself. And he stepped up and made it, and it was enormous. He made two threes that I think were just really, in hindsight, when you look at how the game played out with Roach committing two costly turnovers afterward, those two threes by Febres beforehand were just massive. Where would Texas have been if he would have missed both of those or missed one of them? You know, those ignited the crowd. And really, very important aspect of this that people don't realize when you're at Texas games, there's oftentimes such a nervous energy. It's not there all the time, but oftentimes there's such a nervous energy in the Irwin Center that fans are like, here we go again. You know, oh no. Like, oh no, we've had this lead all game. Texas led the entire game besides 9 seconds. Kansas got up 2-0. So Texas led the entire game. But then, like, this nervous energy starts creeping in because Texas fans are like, well, we normally lose these games the last, 8, 9, 10 years, whatever it is. Like, oh no, here we go again. But Febres' three-pointers pumped so much of an energy, positive energy into the arena. People exploded. They were on their feet. Even after the Roach turnover issues, the Texas fans were chanting, beat KU. There was a much more positive vibe about everything that was going on. And I think that was a direct result of Febres making those big threes down the stretch. And again, I give him credit, man. You know, grab that bag of marbles and shake it like Tanaka does for Pedro Serrano in Major League, because He was so wide open out of that press break, and I'm thinking, oh man, is he actually going to shoot this? He's going to shoot this. And after about a millisecond of hesitation, he just stepped right into it and knocked that thing down, which was a huge moment for him, a huge moment for Texas, as they were able to get the 73-63 win at home against number 11 Kansas. So again, you're listening to the Extra Base, or not the Extra Bases. Oh my goodness gracious. I've been doing a lot of podcasts lately. Listen to the Drop and Dimes podcast on the Yak.com, episode 25. And, you know, one thing too, and I haven't mentioned this, and I think this gets back to the urgency, the effort, the awareness of the situation, and really just knowing that, hey, we've lost two games in a row. We've lost five of our last six. Like, this sucks. And it's up to us to do something. So Shaka Smart said last night after the game that the players were 15 minutes late to shoot around. And he's like, it's fine. It's for good reason. So eventually they met, I guess, from what they said, they met as a group 15 minutes before shoot around to just talk about some things, to get on the same page, hash some things out. And the meeting actually went 15 minutes longer than they anticipated. And I know a lot of people roll their eyes at the idea of a players only meeting because it's, you know, it's something that seems to accompany a lot of struggling basketball teams, or really any sport, really. You know, Texas had a players only type meeting at Arkansas in baseball last season when I think they were like 9-8 or 9-9. And it helped them really change their season. So these things can be productive if you get guys on the right page and then you get a response. And to their credit, maybe it had nothing to do with what was said in there. Maybe it had a little bit to do with what was said in there. Maybe it had a lot to do with what was said in there. I don't know for sure. All I know is that they played defense in a way that they haven't played defense since the Texas Tech game on January 12th. And they played with a sense of pride and toughness that really hasn't been present too much besides that game at Kansas and then that the way they closed out that Oklahoma game. And if you look at some results even before that, the Oklahoma State game, obviously we've gone over how much of a cluster that first half was that cost them that game. But so I don't know if whatever it's said in there just totally flipped a switch or something like that, but something needs to be happening. I thought Bill Self gave a great quote last night. I have to go through and find it. He was giving a great quote about his team, and I think it applies even better to Texas. And let me see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, here it is. So he's talking last night, and he says, when you lose, it should really piss you off. When it doesn't do that, you're kind of comfortable with accepting what happened. I think Texas had become far too accepting of what was happening on the basketball floor, especially what happened at Georgia. You know, watching Georgia just get any shot they wanted when they didn't commit a turnover and score 98 points, even though they were the worst offense in the SEC. Like, there weren't enough people pissed off about that. There weren't enough people pissed off about the way Texas played in the first half against Oklahoma State. There weren't enough people pissed off about, you know, turning the ball over a million times at TCU. The things that were happening were being accepted too much. And I think that really, really applies to Texas. And that I think last night you finally saw a group that was pissed about the fact they were losing a bunch of basketball games, that their season was slipping away from them, that, you know, these senior players are starting to understand, I don't have many more of these games left. And I don't know what my basketball future is after this. Neither one of those guys is, Roach is going to play professionally somewhere. It's probably going to end up being overseas, I would think, or maybe the G League. But he's going to end up playing somewhere. Oskakowski's not, you know, guaranteed to play professional basketball after this. I mean, he probably can, but, you know, these guys are starting to understand that we don't have many more of these left. We don't have many more opportunities to win basketball games. We don't have any more opportunities to play at Texas. And players started finally doing something about it against Kansas. And that's what you want if you're a college coach. And Bill Self mentioned this is one of something Shaka Smart has said a lot throughout his tenure at Texas. It's one thing for coaches to, you know, basically, if they get mad or whatever and just point out, hey, you got to do this or this, you're not playing with enough urgency, you know, why don't you care? You should be more mad, blah, blah, blah. It's one thing for coaches to harp on guys doing that. And coaches, it is up to them to get the most out of their guys. But it matters more and it resonates more with players when it comes from other players, when players start to take ownership of what's happening on the floor. This is something Nick Saban has talked about a lot in football. You know, I remember his strength and conditioning coach gave an interview years ago before they played in a national title game about when he knew, like, the program culture was established. And he was basically like, when I, you know, when we did weight room stuff in the offseason or offseason workouts, and I had players directing the guys that and basically telling them, hey, no, we don't do things like this. We do things like this. This is how we do things. This is why you're going to put in this work. This is why you're going to lift heavy on the squat today and not take it easy. This is the way we do things. It matters more when it comes from players. And I don't know if last night fixed, you know, the grand scheme of Texas issues this season. I think that this is still going to be an inconsistent basketball team. We have too much evidence that suggests that that's just the way Texas is, that they are an inconsistent basketball team, especially when a team is playing a top 10 strength of schedule. I mean, Texas' strength of schedule right now is number 8 in the country. So I don't know if last night fixed that and Texas is suddenly going to become a more consistent basketball team that plays with that type of effort on a consistent basis. But I do know that last night was at least a small sign of players starting to take ownership, of guys getting vocal with each other, of players starting to be more accountable. And it showed. It at least showed a little bit. And, you know, maybe that's something that they can build on moving forward. They do have an opportunity looking ahead. The game at Iowa State is going to be tough. It doesn't matter how good Iowa State is or who's coaching it. It's always a tough place to play. But this Iowa State team is legit. And if you go by the KenPom rankings, they are the top team in the Big 12 at number 12 overall in the KenPom rankings. I mean, they're coming off a win Saturday at Mississippi State. Ole Miss, where they blasted a good Ole Miss team at Ole Miss. And then they have a game at home coming up against West Virginia before they host Texas. So they're on a roll, man, and they can really score, and they can get after you some, too, on defense. They really are good at getting teams to play their style of basketball. So that's going to be a tough game. There's no denying that. And frankly, with how emotional Texas' game was against Kansas, it honestly wouldn't shock me if Iowa State wins that game by double digits. But we have seen Texas this season against big-name opponents rise to the occasion. You know, you look at North Carolina, playing Michigan State tough, Purdue on the road at Kansas State, at home against Texas Tech was a down to the wire game, at Kansas was down to the wire game, Oklahoma was a top 20 team that won a close game against. I mean, TCU, as ugly as that game was on offense sometimes, they only lost by 4 points. So they have met the challenge of these games against big time or big name opponents or high ranked opponents, whatever you classify it as. But that's going to be a tough one coming off an emotional win for Texas. But if you look ahead after that, Baylor at home, who's playing terrific basketball right now, but it's still a home game. At West Virginia, who on paper is the worst team right now in the Big 12. At home against Kansas State. At home against Oklahoma State. On the road against OU, where there's basically not much of a home court advantage. Texas has actually played really well at OU the last couple of seasons. They went up there and won last year in sweeping that regular season series. So there is an opportunity here for Texas to make a little bit of a run, or at least become more consistent and win more basketball games than lose. Because if you look at the way Texas ends, at Baylor, Iowa State at home, at Texas Tech, TCU at home, that's a tough slate to end the season. This is where Texas has got to make some noise. So I'll be curious to see just how they come out at Iowa State. Is that thing of a game until the end? Or are they going to be content with beating Kansas and just chalking that up to being a loss because they know they're on the road at Iowa State? What sense of you know, can they repeat that pride, that presence of pride, that presence of toughness, that presence of urgency, understanding that at 12-9 and 4-4 in the Big 12, they still control their destiny. They still control where they're going to finish in the Big 12. They still control whether or not they're going to make the NCAA tournament. I mean, if you look at the Big 12 conference standings right now, Baylor at 5-2, Kansas State at 5-2, Tech at 5-3, Kansas at 5-3, Iowa State at 4-3, and Texas at 4-4. No, Texas is not going to win the Big 12. I am not drinking. Like, it is. It's 5 o'clock. It's 5:13. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Well, it's 5 o'clock here, but I am not drinking. So the Longhorns are not winning the Big 12. And I think my drinking would just make me be even more pessimistic about them because I've seen this team far too often. But there is an opportunity to finish in the top four of the league. There is. You're going to have a lot of teams that are going to be in that 10-8, 9-9, 8-10 range, I think. And Texas is capable of doing that. They've played right with anybody in the league. So I'll be curious to see just if that game's not a blowout and they're in that game and they play well the entire way and they've got a chance to win that basketball game and you start to see some of the things that you saw against Kansas, I think that would be a positive outcome. I mean, if they win the game, it'd be sensational for their confidence, for their NCAA tournament resume, for the Big 12 standings, all of those things. Because there's not going to be many teams that go to Iowa State and win this season. I mean, Baylor went and did it, surprisingly, but that came after that emotional win over Kansas when Iowa State had a letdown. So there's not going to be many teams that go up to Ames, Iowa, and win that game. So will Texas come out and just say, hey, We know the time is now. We just got to go to war every single night we're on the floor. Or will they come out in just the Texas that we've sometimes seen far too often, which is, we're content on what we did last game. We beat somebody. You know, this is a road game. We're not supposed to win this one. So we'll get our answer on Saturday. But the Longhorns definitely needed to get a win last night against Kansas. They did get that win, 73-63. They're now 12-9 overall, 4-4 in the Big 12. And really, as it relates to the NCAA tournament and to a lesser extent the Big 12, I mean, they're in control of what their season's going to be. They have a chance to write the final chapters about this season. This season, I mean, the book is not closed. Now, if they would have lost to Kansas and lost to Iowa State, probably could have closed that book, barring a miraculous turnaround, because at that point, Texas would have lost more games than I could count, you know, during the month of January. So we'll see what happens at Ames, Iowa. But with that, we'll wrap up this edition of the Droppin' Dimes podcast on the yak.com. Episode 25 is done. I have written that final chapter. It's in the books. I'm Dustin McComas of orangebloods.com. Thank you for listening. I'm glad that we got to discuss some positive things for a change with the Texas basketball program. I hate to beat you guys over the head with so many negative things, but man, you just got to keep it real. Just got to keep it real. And what was real last night was Texas doing what it needed to do to beat a pretty good, heck, a good Kansas team and taking advantage of an opportunity to get back on track, get a big win, and try to find some confidence to get going moving forward. So next time we'll probably catch you after Texas plays on the road at Iowa State this Saturday. And we'll recap that game and then look ahead to what lies ahead for the Longhorns as they get into the month of February, a big month as it relates to the NCAA tournament resume and finding out a way to get into the big dance. So thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you get to theyak.com/Austin. Check out all of our great content. There are a ton of podcasts there. I know that there's at least one or two new ones every single day. So get there to the Yak. Take advantage of that subscription and help us keep you informed, hopefully entertained, and maybe make that day go by a little bit quicker. So until next time, thank you again for listening. I'm Dustin McComas. Take care.